Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. We're kicking off a new series today called Let Us Pray. In this series, we're going to dig deep into the practical side of prayer. How should we pray? What exactly should we pray for? And for who? Is there a best time to pray? Pastor Daniel Brooker, the family and discipleship pastor here at Erie First, is going to get us started by taking a look at who and what we pray for. We can all pray for our family and friends, but what are those other things that are more difficult to pray for? And are there people in our lives who we don't want to pray for? We're going to take a look at all of that today. So let's get started with our new series, Let Us Pray. Here's Pastor Daniel.
Good morning, church. Happy New Year 2024. If you can believe it, that's where we're at. And if you can't believe it, well, find a calendar or look at your iPhone, okay? Because we're there anyway. All right, well, we're heading into this new series today called Let Us Pray, right? And we're going to be taking a very practical look into prayer. And we start this new year here of 2024, and let's commit together to praying more, right? We said that we were going to do that in 2023, but how many of you guys think you can ante up and pray even more in 2024 today? How many of you guys think you can do that, right? Yeah, well, over these next few weeks of teachings from Scripture, we're going to be challenging you to do that and challenging you to kind of say, hey, I am going to pray more and let us pray together. Now, we do a few extra elements in this series that we want to tell you about. So, first of all, we are actually going to expand. We have our monthly Wednesday prayer meetings, but this month we're going to be doing it every single Wednesday. It's 6:30 to 8 p.m. right here in the sanctuary for the entire month. And each night we'll have a different kind of theme or something that we're praying for. And you should have received a Let Us Pray prayer card in your when you walked in this morning. And that kind of outlines or talks about what we're going to be doing. And there's going to be worship and prayer. So, hey, we encourage you slash challenge you to join us for one of those Wednesday nights here and start this new year off praying more and watching what God can do. Now, as you saw in the video there, secondly, we created a Let Us Pray kind of photo booth out there in the lobby this morning, and we want to hear from you, okay? We want to hear from you. What do you pray for? When do you pray? And there's really not a wrong answer, okay? So if you're kind of one of those people that worries about that, don't worry. There's not a wrong answer. But we want you to take part in that and get your picture taken out there. Tell us what you pray for and when you pray. This video before us, before me today, gave you a little bit of an idea of what we kind of like are showing you, but it's a great way to interact with our church family throughout this series, telling us what you're praying for. And we do have some other surprises through the series, but don't miss a Sunday because I'm not going to tell you about all the surprises, okay? Because then it's not a surprise. Yeah, you got that. Okay, let's get started today. Fashion of my personality, I want to start off today with a game / interactive, okay? So are you awake? You had your coffee? All right? Don't worry, I'm not going to make you get out of your seat and like change seats or things like that. But we're going to do a little survey here, and I'm going to say, I want you to raise your hands if you have ever prayed for one of these things, okay? So this is the most common things that Americans have prayed for, and so you're going to raise your hand if you've prayed for them. Are you ready? All right, now you can look around and get to know each other around you, all right? Get to know people around you. How many of you have ever prayed for family and friends? Raise your hand. All right, good. How many of you have ever prayed giving thanks for a meal? Okay, all right, we're so far good. Giving thanks for good things that happened recently. Okay, all right. How many of you have ever prayed when you've had problems or difficulties? Okay, we're good. When you're scared? Listen, I prayed a lot as a kid running up those basement steps, that dark, scary basement. Yes. What about people in natural disasters? Okay. Now, God's grace for your life. All right, we're still good. Government leaders. Oh, we're a little lighter. No, I'm just kidding. But celebrities. Okay, we got some. Now, these next ones, let's not raise our hands for because I don't know if we want to know this about each other, okay? So don't raise your hands on these next ones here. How many of you ever prayed for a good parking spot? Oh, some people raise their hands still. They're like, I am unashamed, yes. And I have a testimony, I got that parking spot. No. But what about, and I dealt with this one a lot, I feel like, with students. How many of you have prayed for success in something that you have prepared not at all for? Lord God, I did not prepare for this test. Give me grace. All right. How about not getting caught speeding? Got some unashamed hand raises there. Your favorite team to win the sport game, right? Some football people out there. And this one, how many of you, maybe don't admit to this one, have ever prayed for someone to fail or lose? That one, don't raise your hands. Yeah. Now today, this is a fun way to kind of start off talking about today the topic of I pray for. And just even in this little kind of exercise or survey, I'm sure that we can see that in this room, even we have raised our hand. We pray for a large variety of things. And this list that I just went through is not even close to comprehensive of what we pray for. Now, we understand that through a day, a week, a month, or even this year, we're going to pray at different times for different reasons. And as we look at the Bible, we see that, right? We see people praying for a variety of reasons. We see it getting as personal as, you know, Hannah praying to have a baby, or for practical reasons such as food, provision, or protection from an enemy. You see, sometimes these prayers throughout the scriptures, sometimes they're small little whispers, and other times we see they look like more like yelling or a prayer in agony or frustration. And if we would evaluate our prayer life today and answer that question of what do we pray for, what are the top things we pray for, I feel that it would show us some of our priorities. As we go into 2024, it would show us some of our priorities, and we might have to ask the question, am I praying for the right thing? So what should we model our prayer life after? Now, if you are worried about that, guess what? You're not the first person to ask that question, and we're going to look at it because Jesus' own disciples asked that question of how do I pray or what do I pray for, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to look at this in a little bit of a deeper way, and ironically, slash nothing's ironic, this is the Lord's Prayer that we already read today, but let's look at it. In Luke 11, it starts in verse 2, it says, "So he said to them, when you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Now, for many of you, this is a very common passage, right? This is one of the most common passages, I would say, in the church. This, as soon as I kind of said, "Our Father," or the Lord's Prayer, you knew where we were going with it. And this passage, Jesus depicts to his disciples the way and what they should pray for. And as we look at today, I want to break it into three kind of chunks. Are you guys still with me? All right, let's break this into three chunks today. Now, the first portion that Jesus looks at and he modeled us for us here and what we are praying for is this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we ask this question, what are we praying for? And when we're praying, we need to be willing to first seek the kingdom of God. Seeking what is the will of God. And Pastor Craig Rochelle, he wrote this in a book called Dangerous Prayers, and it was a book I loved when I read it, and says, when we're seeking to communicate with God in a real, vulnerable, and intimate prayer, he's not wrapping us in a bubble of spiritual safety. Instead, he bursts our "what's in it for me" bubble and invites us to trust him when we don't know what he will do next. Some days we feel blessed. Other days we face challenges, opposition, and persecution. But every moment of a dangerous prayer will be filled with his presence. You see, I think of it in a little bit of a different kind of way, and I think of it like this: do we pray for his kingdom to come, or do we pray for his kingdom to be comfortable? Do we pray for his kingdom to come, or do we pray for this kingdom to be comfortable? When we're asking about what we pray for, we have to be willing to submit the things that we want, the things that we need, and what we pray for to the will of God first. By willing to submit that, we're praying about what is the will of God. And I think in this room here, if I did another survey, actually, let's do it. How many of you have ever prayed what the will of God is for your life? A majority of us. We've asked that question. And we want to seek his kingdom with this. We want to say, what is your will? How do we do that? And we pray this, but one of the top ways or best ways to pray God's will is to pray Scripture. All right? When we want to know what God says or what God needs to say, God's word is just that, right? It's God's word. We pray Scripture, and so we look at this. We can figure out the context of Scriptures and go, you know what? I'm going to pray this verse, and I'm going to believe this, and I'm going to pray that, God, you will show me the will for our lives. Now, today, I'm not discouraging you to say all those things we raised our hands for, all those things we pray for. I'm not discouraging you to pray for things and say the only thing you should be praying for is God's will. So you can have a 30-second prayer time because it says, God will, let your will be done. Amen. It's almost like rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Amen. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not discouraging you to pray for the small things or the things that are nice, but it's about a heart posture of submission. It's about a heart posture of submission, submissions to God's will and his ways that we posture our heart towards. You see, the next thing that he wrote about here in the Lord's Prayer was this. We see this in the next portion. He says, give us day by day our daily bread. So we seek first his kingdom. We say, God, what is your will? And he prayed, give us day by day our daily bread. You see, Jesus understands what you need. And guess what? He cares, right? God cares. And maybe that's even a concept that's hard for us to understand today. But when we realize that he cares, we can ask the question, what do I pray for? And the answer can be, I can pray for everything. I can pray for the small things. I can pray for the big things. And see, this picture or kind of this experience came to my mind, and I have three children, okay? 4 years old, 6 year old, and a 9 year old. And we are in the glory days. I mean, my wife and I often cry and love the fact that we are you might think we're crazy. We love this age of our kids right now, and we know it's gonna go too quickly. Now, this past year, they had the opportunity to do something that I used to do as a kid that I didn't think they were gonna do. So, I don't know about you guys, but even for me, I'm not that old, but I remember getting the Sears catalog or like the flyers, the Black Friday flyers, right, before Christmas. And one of the things that I would do and my brothers would do is we'd sit there and we'd go and circle items in it, right? We'd circle items and we'd go, and then my brothers would take turns and we're putting initials by it. And you're like, you can't get that. I already circled it, right? And have the arguments. You know where I'm at, all right? Now, however, my mother this year, because she must be a frequent flyer or a frequent purchaser on Amazon, got an Amazon toy catalog, all right? And she gave it to my girls and my son, and they got the opportunity to go and circle the things that they thought they wanted. And then I got the beautiful opportunity to do what my parents did and go, just because you circle it doesn't mean you're getting it. Any parents out there or anyone knows that? Just because you circle it doesn't mean you're going to get it. And let's just be honest. You might not get any of it, okay? Based on how you were acting. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't threaten. But they got to do that. And today, as we're looking at prayer, Jesus looked at this. In so many ways, I think our prayer life can kind of resemble that, right? So many times, our prayer life can look like, hey, I'm going to circle the things I want that we normally pray for, and I'm going to ask for these things. And we can pray and ask for things, but in some ways, I feel like God's going, I know what you need, and just because you circle it doesn't mean you're going to get it, all right? But we can ask directly, and there's excitement in that. And Jesus said in his teaching about prayer that we can ask directly. And I want to read this from the Message translation because I feel like it really hits to how we talk today, right? And so Matthew 7:7 says this, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse or a hide and seek game that we're in. And if your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think that God, who has conceived you in love, will be even better? So church, as we're asking the question of what we pray for, we realize that we can ask directly to a God who cares and knows what we need. We can ask directly to a Father that loves us and loves to provide for us. The whole gambit, right? The whole spectrum. So we have a God who cares, so we can pray for that surgery that's coming up or the prognosis that we didn't expect because we believe that we have a God who hears our prayers and we can pray for healing. But we can also pray because we believe that he's a God who cares about our well-being and even our lost items. So we can pray for that lost dog, that lost kitten, those things, and pray for the keys to be found. But we also have a God who cares, and we can pray about our financial position, pray for wise financial decisions and wisdom and practices, or pray for unexpected income to come in. We can pray for a deeper assurance of hope. You see, God is a good Father who wants to provide good things for you, and we can pray directly for it, the small things or the big things, and we need to be willing to wait and hear yes, no, or maybe wait, and be willing. Another portion, or the last portion I want to look at today with many of us, I feel like is one of the most difficult. Some of us in this room here might be like, I can pray circles around things like, I can pray for others, I can pray for healing, I can do that. But this one I think a lot of people will struggle with, and that's praying for those who curse you or those who are our enemies. You see, he says, and forgive us our sins, and we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This song was written a few years ago by an artist named Jaron Lowenstein, and he speaks of a topic about praying for someone else, but I think he may have missed the point. Let me read some of the lyrics for you, all right? So he wrote this about a girlfriend when he broke up, and he says, my pastor says, let the good Lord do his job, and so just pray for them. So I pray that your brakes go out while you're going down a hill. I pray your birthday comes up and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when the engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. I can agree that I don't think that's what we're talking about praying for somebody else today, okay? Just because you say you're praying for somebody doesn't mean it's the right thing, okay? Now, here, let's go back to Jesus, actually, what he says and how we should pray for somebody and get an example from that. And he modeled it in Luke chapter 6:27-28, and it says, but to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. We are to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us. Again, it might be easy to pray for those lost keys, but someone who has hurt me, man, that's not an easy thing to pray for and even pray for them in the same manner, because if we truly love someone, we want what's best for them, correct, right? And if we're supposed to show this love, then we could take the same prayer that Jesus gave us and say, you know what, if I'm going to pray it for myself, then maybe I should pray it for my enemies as well. And if we look at the Lord's Prayer, that means we should ask God that our enemy would first and foremost come to respect God's name in reverence and admiration. Or then we could pray that our enemies would know God's will without reservation, with pure motives and joy, and that they would turn from their ways. And when they follow God's will, we should pray that God would give our enemies daily bread and that he would meet their needs and education. We pray that we should want this for him and we want for ourselves. We should pray that their sins would be forgiven and that we would be a forgiving person. And finally, we should pray that God would protect them from temptation and destruction. You see, love is sometimes easy to pray for when you love someone, but hard to pray when you find them as an enemy. You see, this is something that we don't normally find on our prayer list. You don't normally write the names of the people who have hurt you and go, I'm going to pray. But in 2024, if we're called to love others, that means praying and aiming that they even would come to exalt God in their hearts, that our enemies would come to know God. And even beyond the hurt and the pain and the curses that someone may cause us, we're still to pray and care for their eternity. You see, it's wrong for us to neglect these prayers and pray for our wants and our needs and our daily provision, but yet completely ignore the eternal gravity of them not knowing Christ. But as long as we prosper here on earth, then we should be fine. It's true that our love and prayers may not always bring them to a awakening or directing to them to faith in Jesus and respecting God's name. I'm not saying that every one of our prayers means that they're all going to end with our enemies on their knees. But a heart that does not aim at an enemy's eternal joy in Jesus, I don't think is fully submitted to the love of Christ and his desire for the lost. Love prays for our enemies and aims and longs just as if we were praying the Lord's Prayer for them. As I prepared this for this week, I really thought, wow, Jesus' life in the last few days embodied this prayer, and he lived it out to the fullest. So if we look at it, he honored the Lord and submitted to God's ways. He was there in the garden. He said, God, if there's any other way, show me how to do this. And he cried out, but then he said, your kingdom come, your will be done. He submitted to God's will. He also met the needs of the disciples with washing of their feet, eating with them, and directing them to a prepared place for the Passover feast. He knew what they needed. He knew their daily needs. And then the most compelling praying for one's enemies was this prayer of Jesus as he hung there on the cross. And if we look at Scripture, one of the most underestimated facts in Luke, it says this, Luke 23:33, there they crucified him. And Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This prayer right here draws together the three aspects of this, that as we just looked at for loving our enemies, and it's praying forgiveness and mercy. And Jesus is unremitting with this command for his disciples and for us. And when Peter asked him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and how so many times should I forgive him? As many as seven times. Do you guys remember what he says? No, he says no. He says, I do not say to do it seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, Peter, stop setting limits. Don't set limits. Forgive, love. Let the mercy in your heart be as the bottomless as mine is towards you. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Mercy and forgiveness are needed because there's real guilt. I'm not up here standing here saying that you weren't hurt or that the enemy hasn't really wronged you or that they don't deserve a suitable justice for or retaliation. But when forgiveness and mercy both become relevant and urgent, then that is a place where we can step in and say, God, I'm willing to pray for them. Mercy says, I will treat you better than you deserve. And forgiveness says, I'm willing to not count my offenses against you. I pray for those who hurt me. As we end today, I want to challenge you with the same way that Pastor Nicole, and as we started today, to pray more. But I really felt the Lord put it on my heart to challenge you to pray outside of the box that maybe that you have normally prayed in. So whatever that is, maybe you feel like you haven't had much of a prayer life. Maybe you feel that you haven't spent that time, and maybe you just need to be willing to give the small things to God and pray for those. Then pray for that. Or maybe you're someone who has prayed for years and years and years, and you said, I can do that, but you know what? I've never put that person who hurt me on my prayer list. Well, I'm going to challenge you today to do that. Pray throughout your day for the big things, the small things. Start your day with praying that you would be used for God's kingdom, that you would be open and be willing to pray for forgiveness for those who need your forgiveness. And maybe it's the first step is today. After service here, maybe you need to come down to one of these prayer tables, and we have people down here, and you go, you know what? I want to do what Pastor Daniel's talking about today. I want to pray for forgiveness. I want to forgive those who have hurt me, but I just maybe need someone to help jumpstart me, to pray with me and start. Then come down today after the service. We have people at the prayer tables, and someone will be willing to pray with you. But let today be the start of a 2024 in which you pray more and we pray together, not just for the things that we think will make our life more comfortable, but the things where we say, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Would you guys pray with me this morning? God, we are so grateful and thankful for what you've done. I pray that today we would first and foremost just say, God, I am grateful and honored that you are such a loving God, that you came and you died on a cross. And because of that, we give you our honor, our respect, and we love you, Lord. And so with that, we remain in submission and in a posture of honor to you, God. So we pray that your kingdom come, that your will be done in each and every one of our lives. So if that means we need to wait on something, or we need to accept that no or that yes for that prayer, God, I pray that we would hear your voice today. God, I pray for somebody who's been praying for something and they just need encouragement. I pray that you would give them a scripture today. I pray that you would give them a scripture today. They would open their Bibles and look, and they would find something that would speak to them from your words about the situation that they're praying into. And God, I pray today for our congregation that we would be known as a community, as a home base that loves radically, that prays for those who have hurt us, for praise for those that have maybe done us wrong, and believes that, God, you are a God who redeems, not just the people that look like us, not just the people that act like us, but God, you are a redeeming miracle worker for the people who are far from you to come close to you. So we pray today, God, for even those that have done us wrong, who have hurt us. I pray that you would guide our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you gave us a rating and a review on your podcast app. And please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.